At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in you to live. Romans 8, 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not, it's going to stay. It must be a female microphone. It does what it wants to do. But, attaboy. Just, well, I better hold it there. That's good. All right. Romans 8, 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We read a while ago in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, that means when you got saved, there'll be some folks this morning who'll receive Christ. They'll come and you'll hear at this altar, and they'll receive Christ as Savior. Now, when they do that, the minute they do that, the Holy Spirit comes in their bodies to live. You say, well, I feel anything? Not necessarily. I could come to your house. If you're upstairs, you wouldn't know I was in the house, but I'd be in the house. But whether you feel it or not, feel him or not, it's not the issue. He comes into your body to live the moment that you receive Christ as your... By the way, take that chair out of the aisle there, would you please? We're going to use that. That aisle is going to be used in a few... Is somebody in it? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Now, the honest, simple truth is he comes in your body to live. Now, there are several things he comes to do. He comes to comfort. He's called the Comforter on several occasions in the Gospel of John. So he comes in to comfort you. Now that word comforter means a runner to your side to help you. So this Holy Spirit comes in to comfort. He comes in to help. He comes in to encourage. In fact, the word comforter also means encourager. He comes in to encourage. He comes in to strengthen. Are you listening? He comes in to teach. He comes in to lead. He comes in to help. Now, all this happens the moment that you get saved. The Holy Spirit comes into your body to live. And as I said a while ago, and I repeat, he comes to comfort, encourage, strengthen, teach, lead, and help. But here's the problem. We misunderstand why he comes in. We have sort of a charismatic kind of a theory about the Holy Spirit. He comes in, we think, to sort of invisibly comfort us. He comes in to sort of ethereally, if that's a good word, strengthen us. We have sort of a charismatic, spooky kind of a idea about the Holy Spirit and his comforting us. For example, such statement says, I feel led. Such statement says, by the way, when you say I feel led, there are two things must happen for you to be actually be led. One is, he must lead, and two, you must discern whether it's he leading or not. In other words, you've got 50-50 chance of missing the ball, because you must discern whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. By the way, that's why he gave you a book, so you wouldn't have to discern. He said, I'm trying to tell you something. You say, well, I don't know whether that's you or not. I can't quite understand. Okay, so I'll write it down and put it in the book so you can understand it. And that way you can read it over and over again to be sure it's what I said. That's all it is. So, we say, he led me. Boy, you'd be amazed what he leads us to do. He led me to marry this alcoholic. He led me to date the worst girl in the college. he spoke to me. Now, I'm saying that most of what we think the Holy Spirit does is not what he does. And I'll tell you something else. 99% of the statements when people say, the Spirit led me, the Spirit did not lead them. They're talking about some kind of a spooky, invisible kind of him telling me through instinct or something. I'm not sure what it is. I'll make a statement here. I've been preaching for over 50 years. I've been a preacher. I've walked behind pulpits 56,000 times, and God has never yet spoke to me about what to preach. Or you either. Never has. I've asked him to control my mind as I made the decision. But God has never spoken to me, and he has never spoken to Oral Roberts either. If he ever speaks to either one of us, I'll get it before he does. I'm saying... That is a satanic attack on what the Holy Spirit really does. Now listen carefully to me. 99% of all this stuff, he leads me, he led me, I feel led, is hogwash, garbage, tomfoolery, and poppycock. Now, that means this. There is I feel led, he led me, he spoke to me. I'm not saying it never happens, but I'll guarantee you, it's not 1% of the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is the exception rather than the norm. Now, probably, let me say this. He is not given to you so you may be comforted. He is given to you so that you may comfort. You see, the Holy Spirit has a body. And that body is yours and mine. He does his work like you do your work through your body. You don't spiritually cook your husband a meal. You don't spiritually mow the yard. You don't spiritually shovel the snow. My wife does, but I mean, shovel the snow. I'm simply saying that you have a body. And your spirit makes the decision, and your body carries out that decision. Now, the Holy Spirit has a body. And the Holy Spirit makes a decision, but that decision for the Holy Spirit to work is done through the body. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men to Christ's love. He has no help but our help to speak of him above. And I've forgotten the poem. But anyway, he has to have a hand. And your hands are his hands. You're the only gospel this careless world will read. You're the sinner's gospel. You're the scoffer's creed. You're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? I'm trying to tell you this morning that this spooky kind of I feel led, And God told me to do that, is nothing more than the charismatic garbage that's on the television all the time. God's given you a book to tell you what to do. And God, listen, this selfish thing about, for example, said a very present help in time of need. And let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You will find grace to help in time of need. God is not talking there about what he can do for us, but what he can do through us. Amen. God's talking about the Comforter coming. He's not saying the Holy Spirit's coming to you to comfort you. Now, he may do that occasionally, but that's the exception. He's coming to you to be comforted through you so you can comfort somebody else. Holy Spirit didn't come to fill me so I can sit here and feel some kind of little ooze. Ooh, I feel comforted. I feel comforted. I feel comforted. Oh, that's hogwash. He came to me so I could comfort you and strengthen you. And help you. He came in our bodies to work through us and not work to us. Now let me explain. We're in a funeral home. Don't miss this. We're in a funeral home. This good man right here is standing behind a pulpit. In front of him there's a family. Heartbroken. At the base of that pulpit is a casket. And there lies the remains of somebody that these folks love with all their hearts. And they're heartbroken. And this good man stands up as only he can do and comforts that family. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit comforting. This good man goes to a hospital. Don't let this go to your head, son. I know enough on you to put you in a penitentiary. But this good man goes to a hospital. And by the way, as only Johnny Colston can do. There's something about that man's presence that makes you feel better, that makes you feel secure. He walks to the hospital bed and sometimes silently stands there and makes you feel better. And sometimes he's talking, but between words, it's silent. And I tell him when he prays, I go to sleep between words. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? But anyway, but he stands there. And there he is beside that. Here's a person in just a few minutes. The knife will pierce their body and it'll be under the surgeon's knife. And Brother Colston stands there and bows his head and prays for them and reaches out and touches their hand and encourages them. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit comforting. Not a spooky kind of a cloud that comes and makes you feel better. No, sir, I say it again. The Holy Spirit did not come into you to comfort you. He came in you so you could comfort somebody else. The illustration. A godly mother takes a Bible. And that godly mother sits down in a chair at home. and ask her child to sit at her knee, as my mother did. And that godly mother takes a Bible and teaches that Bible to that little child. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit teaching. I'm saying, now again, I'm not saying he won't teach you himself as you read the Bible, but I'm saying that's not the usual way. The usual way is he works through some godly Bible teacher to teach you the Word of God. I'm walking all over this thing. Let me illustrate again. I may never have this ensemble sing again up here. I'll say it again. A family has a fire. Happens on a Wednesday evening. While the house is still smoldering, that family comes to church. They've lost everything. And we say, Holy Spirit, comfort them. That's foolish. How do you comfort them? We pass the plates. People in this church get $6,000 plus. Listen, young people. People in this church get $6,000 plus. Before the house, the fire has quit smoldering. There's a $6,000 hope plus come in for that family. I talked to the fellow the next day, or a day or so later, and I say, look, you can take part of that, buy some furniture if you want to. He said, don't need to buy any furniture. The people have put furniture out there at Baptist City so much, we can start a furniture store. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the work of the Holy Spirit is not us sitting here locking our pocketbooks and covering up all of our money and saying, Holy Spirit, comfort that family. Let me tell you, if that family is comforted, 99% of that comforting will come through the bodies of God's Holy Spirit. Boy, I wish you'd get this. You can be a partner with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you are His body. If he helps, it'll be your helping hand. If he comforts, it'll be your comforting voice and your comforting gift. I'm saying that's the work of the main work of the Holy Spirit. But you say, hold it, preacher. Now, wait a minute. Back in the Bible days, the Bible says that Philip, the Holy Spirit, spoke to Philip and told him to go to Gaza. And the Holy Spirit spoke back in Bible days to other people. And for example, he spoke to... I've got it written down. Oh, yeah, I spoke to Paul in Troas. And the Holy Spirit suffered him not to go to Bithynia and so forth. Yeah, you say, well, how about that? That's before he finished writing the book. I'd rather have it in the book than to feel it in my heart. Because my feeler might be broken. And my receiver might be broken. But, brother, if it's written down here, that's all I need. So I'm saying that the illustration... A ghetto-bound child lives in a hell on earth. A loving busker goes by and visits that child. By the way, some of you folks ought to get in the helping business. He lives in you, but he never gets to do anything through you. And that's what it means by hindering the Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit is coming you, not to comfort your selfish desires. Holy Spirit's coming you as a comforter so he can comfort through you, and he's begging to do something for other people, but you won't let him. So this bus worker loves this little bus kid and helps him. He goes by to get him and brings him to church on Sunday, and he maybe buys him a pair of shoes or maybe a little dress for the little girl who's never owned a dress before. And that young person comes and stays in the afternoon down here at Baptist City. And a loving, faithful Pam Hibbard and others teach that little girl and love that little girl and care for that little girl. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Holy Spirit encouraging. He did not come to ooze inside you to mysteriously encourage you. He came to come inside you that he may encourage others through you. Oh, this selfish generation. I mean, turn your television and sit on sometime. Listen to this hodgepodge, what they call Christianity, on these so-called Christian stations. If you do this, this will come to you. You will get this. You will get... Quit thinking about what you get and think about what you can give. Christianity is not Christ giving to you. It's Christ giving through you. Illustration. I see him working this morning. Over here. As faithful workers work with the educable slow. You listen to me? I see him. We're Holy Spirit working. Has the, and many of you, the full extent of you're doing anything for somebody else is in the Lord, take care of him. Well, help him. He uses human instruments to do his work. I see him working over here. I see him working back on my right where the deaf are. I see faithful, loving workers who work with those people so they can hear the message with their eyes. I see him working. I see him, the Holy Spirit, teaching back there. I see him encouraging back there. I am so sick of Christian people's selfishness. I'm talking about fundamental Christian people. We interpret everything in the Bible as what it can do for me. You say, I'll tell you this, whatever you need joy, happiness, excitement, thrill, comfort, you don't get it by getting it, you get it by giving it. You get joy by spreading joy. You get happiness by spreading happiness. You get peace by spreading peace. You get excitement by spreading excitement. Illustration, I see him upstairs on my left in the mission men. I see him in the mezzanine on my right, these homeless people here, from people who've gone out this last week to the streets of Chicago and found people sleeping at night on the streets in the wintertime. That's the Holy Spirit working. The Holy Spirit is working. I see doctors here this morning. A doctor stands over a patient. And that patient anxiously waits to see if life will be given for a while longer. And that doctor bows his head, lifts his heart to God, and says, "Dear God, you help me as I operate on this patient." And that doctor operates on that patient. And that patient recovers. Now you listen carefully to me. That is more the working of the Holy Spirit than Oral Roberts ever saw in his life. You listen to me. Brother, God is looking for people to do something where His Spirit can come in and not spookily and ethereally do something. He entered you so you would be His body so He could work through you. And He can't work normally unless you let Him do it. Don't you forget that statement. He did not come primarily to comfort you. He came primarily for you to use you to comfort somebody else. Illustration. A classroom. Hammond Baptist grade school. A teacher works for peasant salary. There for 7-8 hours a day. Those little kids. You think you've got trouble with 2 or 3. You ought to have 30. You only have them a couple hours after supper at night. They got them all day long. Those godly teachers teach those children that Jesus loves them. They teach them mathematics, but also teach them that God loves them. They teach them history, but also teach them the history, the true history about the Bible and Jesus Christ. And that little teacher teaches those little boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Holy Spirit teaching. Illustration. Maxine Jeffries back there goes out, knocks on the door, or rings the doorbell of a home. Someone comes to the door. Maxine says, "I've come to see your shut-in." Maxine walks in. She takes a little gift, maybe a bouquet of flowers, maybe one of my books, or maybe some other little gift that we send. Maxine says, "Brother Howell sent me to see you today." And Maxine sits beside that little one that's shut in, whose sky is a ceiling, whose stars is a 60-watt light bulb, whose sunshine is just a little light, artificial light, whose ground is a carpet or wooden floor, whose horizon is a wall, whose entire world is about 15 by 7 feet high, the entire world. And Maxine sits there, and she speaks to them and encourages them. Ladies and gentlemen,
That is the Holy Spirit encouraging.
It's Christmas time. Spirit of Christmas. Ms. Isles will tell you one of the things that I don't like. She'll tell you a lot of things I don't like. And she'll tell you after this something she doesn't like. I never ask anybody what they want for Christmas. Make me a list. God, make me a list. I want to know what to forget to get you for Christmas. I'm saying this morning, I want the Holy Spirit to do His work. But if He does His work, He'll not do it to me. He'll do it through me to somebody else. This is what I want. This is what I want. I don't want anything except to give somebody what they want or what they need. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and get like a... Randy Erickson wrote me a note this week. He works here some. He wanted to take off a couple of days. He said, dear... His wife's folks live up in Wisconsin. He said, dear Brother Hiles, I've got to take off to go buy your Christmas present. He said, it'll take me about a day and a half, 2 days. He said, I've got to look everywhere between here and Wisconsin to get it. I've got to get the right thing. What a way to take a couple of days off and get credit. But most of us, what's in it for me? Oh, the Holy Spirit came to give me comfort. No, He didn't do it primarily. He came so you could be used of Him to comfort somebody else. Boy, I wish I could get this through to you. Average person, the average Christian, and the average type of Christianity in America is nothing more than selfish. Holy Spirit, when I got saved as a boy, almost 11 years of age, on my knees, and outside the back door of the Affirmative Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, He came in me to live. He didn't come in self for me to be selfish, though He sometimes does give me invisible blessing, but that's only a small percentage. The reason the Holy Spirit of God came into me was not so I could be blessed, but bless. Not so I could be comforted, but comfort. Not so I could to receive, but give. Oh, bless God. I've been filled with the Spirit. I've been filled up. I feel so good. Shut up. Make somebody else feel good. Makes me feel bad you do that. Illustration. A pastor walks out the door and looks at thousands of people. Some pastors, hundreds, and some dozens. He looks at people discouraged. He looks at people depressed. He looks at people who are sad. The pastor stands up and he encourages those who are discouraged. He raises the spirits of those who are saddened. And you walk out feeling better. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit encouraging. A discouraged pastor comes home from a sermon. He laid an egg and he knows it. Not me, I've never done that. An egg big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs from. He walks home, walks in the house. His wife walks up and says, that was a great sermon. That's good lying. That was a great sermon. She puts her arm around him and says, that was a great sermon. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit working. A Christian picks up his Bible and reads, 99% of all the ways that God leads, He leads through this book right here. And reads. God says you're having a hard time understanding it. I'll write it down. You can be sure it's God. You can read it over and over and over again. So this morning that means this. Now listen carefully. The Holy Spirit came into my body when I was a little lad. He did not come into my body to do good things to me primarily. He came into my body to do good things through me. Now, wait a minute. Listen carefully. You say, wait, Brother House. How about your joy? I'll tell you what you do. You ever get used of the Holy Spirit of God to help somebody else, and you'll know what real joy is all about.
He came in my body so I could pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and stand up here and encourage you three times a week. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me today. That's not wrong. I think something will beat it. Oh, Holy Spirit, may I help today. Oh, Holy Spirit, encourage me today. No, Holy Spirit, help me to encourage today. Every time I think about this, I think about a lady we had in our church years ago. She's a middle-aged lady, about 69 years of age. She was a middle-aged lady. Mrs. Stinson was her name. She's been to heaven a long time. Mrs. Stinson was a pianist and organist. Not a great one, but a good one. And she was a very fine lady. She had this prematurely white hair, and she looked very, very dignified. I don't know why white-haired people look smarter than anybody else, but she looked real, real dignified. Bob has white hair. Both of them are white. You should check very carefully. But anyway, wait a minute. Miss Stinson, she came one day to my office. A very sweet, cultured, refined lady. And she said, Pastor, I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. I wasn't surprised. Every lady I know is having a nervous breakdown, or just got over one, or is going to have one as soon as she can work it into her schedule. She said, could you help me? I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. She's shaking like palsy. I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. I said, sure, I can help you. She said, what can you do for me? I said, go home, make some cookies. What's making cookies got to do with my nervous breakdown? I said, take them down to some deaf family. Write on a piece of paper, I love you. Take some coffee or tea with you and sit there and sip some tea and eat the cookies with them and bring some cheer in their life. I said, the next day, bake a cake. Take it down to one of the families of the blind family and tell them you love them and sit there and eat the cake and drink some tea or some juice. And the next day, get you a dozen roses and go to the St. Margaret's Hospital and walk down the hospital corridor and find everybody you can that doesn't have anybody in the room visiting with them at visiting hours, and walk in and put that rose in a vase and sit there and bring cheer in their lives and comfort them. And I said, and she said, well, what's that got? I said, do it and see if you won't cancel your nervous breakdown. She avoided me for months. She'd see me in the hallway and turn and walk the other way. One day I was walking down the office area, and she was walking toward the office area, and we bumped into each other, almost hurt each other, smack dab. And I stepped back and asked Mrs. Stinson, we've got to quit meeting like this. And she laughed. She started to walk away. I said, hold it, you're not leaving. You're not leaving. I said, you came to me several months ago about to have a nervous breakdown. What happened? Very quickly, she said, I called it off. You know why she called it off? Because she found out the Holy Spirit didn't come to comfort her mainly. He came to comfort through her. And when he comforted through her, and she had the joy of taking some cookies to a deaf person, and some cake to a blind person, and some nutrageous candy bars to a preacher, God didn't make you to eat nutrageous candy bars. He made you to bring them to me. I don't necessarily want them. I want you to get the blessing of giving them. I'm going to kill myself on these stupid wires today. The ensemble is disbanded. She said, I got some business. I called it off. You can call yours off, and all of your problems. Listen, I've got as many reasons this morning to be depressed as you do. I've got as many reasons to cry myself to sleep tonight as you do. I've got as many reasons to have a self-pity party today as you do. I'm not going to have one. You know why I'm not going to have one? Because the Holy Spirit came into me to use me to comfort, not me. Oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. Just keep on talking. Help me help others. Help me help others. Help me help others. Help me help others. I promise you this morning, you listen to this sermon and do what I'm talking about, it'll transform your life.
our Baptist churches are as charismatic churches are.
I feel led.
Let me tell you the best way to get led. When I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond 36 years and 3 months ago, I went to my pastor. And I went to Dr. Lee Robertson. And I talked to those men. See, they had no will in the matter. I had a will in the matter. And I figured that they could tell me what I could do better than I could find out what I could do. And the Holy Spirit working through Lee Robertson and through my pastor caused me to come up here. And I wouldn't be pastor of this church today and never would have been if I did not give my will to somebody who had no will in the matter, who could lead me and guide me. And I'm telling you something else too. I would not, if I were you, you folks changing jobs, moving out of the area. Now, I'm not saying you all do what I say, but I'm saying you shouldn't do what I say don't do. What do you think I'm up here for? Who do you think you are, God? No, I don't want to be God. But I am God's messenger in this church to try to help you discern the will of God for your life. And though the decision is yours, for you not to even consult with the man of God is ridiculous. I would never make a decision without consulting with the man of God. Never would. The honest, simple truth is, the average person in this room is so busy trying to get, he mistakes the fact that the Holy Spirit came into his body not to give to you, but so you could give to others, so he could give to others through you. But you say, well, hold it, preacher. Who's going to give to me? The people that he inspires to give to you. I encourage you. How? Holy Spirit encourages you through me. You encourage me. How? Holy Spirit. I'll tell you something else, too. You go home this afternoon, spend all afternoon saying, Holy Spirit, encourage me. I go back to my house today, and I'll say, Holy Spirit, encourage me. And neither one of us do anything for the other, and we won't get encouraged. But if I'll say, Holy Spirit, you came into my life to comfort. Not me, primarily, but for others to be comforted through me. You say the same thing. So I comfort you, and you comfort me. So I get the joy not only of being comforted, but of comforting, and get the joy of being comforted and the joy of comforting. I don't know what that means, but it's in this book I read. Now listen carefully, and I'll close. Or if you don't listen carefully, I'll close. Because I'm through. In fact, I was through 15 minutes ago, but trying to think of something to say. Listen carefully. The average concept of Christianity is totally contrary to this book. 99% of all the leadership you need is right in that book because the Holy Spirit wrote that book. And I'd rather read his letter than try to hear his voice. I might have bad hearing. And 99% of the comfort that the Holy Spirit is going to give to you, he'll give through somebody else. And it's time that God's people became a little mature in the Lord and realized that the normal work of the Holy Spirit is not to you but through you. He did not come to give you comfort, but to make you a comforter. What a joy. Now that means that I am a partner with the Holy Spirit. One of the joys of my life was to, for 22 years, sit on the same platform as a partner with John R. Rice. I have a big picture of him in the waiting room in there. It says, to Dr. Jack Howells, my buddy, signed John R. Rice. We're co-laborers. I can tell you something better than that. If I'll get busy comforting and letting the Holy Spirit comfort through me, I and the Holy Spirit can be partners and co-laborers. You know, I'm talking a foreign language this morning. I may as well talk in Greek or Hebrew or Spanish or Texan. I may as well, because most of you will never learn this because you're so all-fired selfish. All you're concerned about is what you get. And you'll never have joy and happiness and peace. I hate you anyhow. I'm going to kick them all down this morning. You'll never have happiness. You'll never have joy till you realize the Holy Spirit didn't comfort so you could get comforted. He came in you so you could comfort. Boy, when you go to bed at night, and realize that you've been used of the Holy Spirit of God to comfort somebody. You'll have the snuggest, sweetest feeling you ever had in your life. As old Dr. Bob Jones used to say, Senior used to say, happiness is stumbled upon in the pathway of duty. I'm talking to hundreds of perfect, totally selfish people, and I promise you, the most miserable people in this room. There's a song, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. That's not true. He'll take you to heaven, but it won't bring you joy. Salvation comes by letting Jesus come in your heart. Joy comes when you forget you exist and you live with the Holy Spirit to comfort through you and comfort others through you. I want to close. I'd like to stand up here for the rest of the day and try to teach you this truth and pound it in your head and pound it in your head and pound it in your head. The normal work of the Holy Spirit is through the normal work you do. His body. My wife will fix lunch today. Here's what she'll do. She'll sit down in the kitchen. Oh, Lord, fix lunch. So I will. That's pretty good, wasn't it? No, sir. The Holy Spirit will fix me lunch this morning, this day, but he'll do it through my wife's hands. The Holy Spirit will shovel the snow of our senior citizens, but he'll do it through the hands of these rescue mission men up here. The Holy Spirit will heal people, but do it through the hands of that doctor and other doctors. The Holy Spirit will seek justice and give justice to people come to court. He'll do it through that judge back there. The Holy Spirit's unusual work is invisible and unseen. His usual work, 99% of it, is when he comes into your life not to comfort you primarily, but for you to comfort somebody else. And through you, he does his work. No one leaving, would you bow your heads, please?